opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing, bloody murder, molesting, running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around, something else is going wrong. Yeah, tell me, what the hell is going on?
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show, home of the most interesting people in the Ville. This is your host, Rick Redding. Each and every week, I talk to two or more of the most interesting people in this city to give you an idea of some of the cool things going on and talk about some of the neat events that are happening. And we're rounding the corner, rounding the edge of January, and that means spring's not far down the road. So that's a good thing. I have some great personal stuff going on, including just today, Wednesday, I got the cast off my ankle. It was really great to see my foot again, I tell you that. But there's a lot of other stuff going on that I want to talk to you about in the second part of the show. And in the second half of the show, we're going to talk with a very entertaining group of guests, the Va Va Vixen Troupe. They are putting on a new show in February, and it is all the rage, very interesting. You will love these ladies I have on the show this week. The Va Va Vixen crew, Lisa Fry is the leader. She's been on the show before with another group. So look forward to that. Stay tuned for that. That is going to be very entertaining for you. But first up, I've been trying to get with the brand new president of the Metro Council, David Yates, for a little while now. He was elected in 2010, and back then he was actually a guest speaker at one of our Breakfast of Champions events. David reminded me, and I did a video of him in the office. Well, guess what? Through a lot of things that go on in politics, David is now the youngest member of the Metro Council, but he's also now the president of the Metro Council. He's got to move from the third floor down to the first floor in the same office where a few months back I interviewed David Tandy, who is not running for re-election and not going, you know, his tenure as president is over. So David is discovering the challenges of leading this diverse group of 26 people that lead our city, and I wanted to talk to him about that, and fortunately, I got to go over to Metro Hall the other day and sit down with David. He was right in between meetings. He was a little bit, I made him late for a meeting. I'm sorry about that. But anyway, here's my interview with David Yates.
As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, we take the time to care, they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
And today, the Rusty Satellite Show is in the, newly remodeled office of the president of the Metro Council, David Yates. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you and I go way back. I know when you were first elected in 2010, I came down and talked to you. And, you've been busy.
I have been. And actually, I believe that the Breakfast of Champions with you, it was my first speaking engagement right after getting elected.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that. And we're still doing that. I haven't seen you back at any of them. So, you're welcome to come back.
Appreciate that.
David, a lot of us watchers of Metro Council doings were a little bit surprised to see
Number one, that the former president David Tandy wasn't running again, and that you ascended because you're, I guess, maybe the youngest, or just, I don't know if you're still the youngest on the council.
I am the youngest on the council.
And you became president. So how'd that happen?
Well, I think that being president on our council, you're elected by your colleagues. I think it just you build relationships. You're one-on-one. I've been here long enough for people to know who I am, mm-hmm. To understand what my goals and aspirations are, and to be able to be a proven leader. And I hope to follow through with all those promises this year.
Okay. Well, great. Well, you know, today, I guess, is the filing deadline for people come on. I know there are some really interesting people running for Metro Council. Last week, I had Stephen Riley on, who is an amazing individual. I know Gil Holland announced he was running. And it seems like a lot of more competitive races this time. Are you paying attention to that?
Well, I mean, obviously, I'm excited. The electoral process has to play itself out. We always encourage people to get involved in the process, to run for office. I think with new blood, with new people, there's new ideas. And there's also a sense of accountability to elected officials. So we always encourage people to get involved in the process. As far as the primaries coming up, I haven't had much time to pay too much attention to it. Mm-hmm. Obviously, taking on this role as president, I've devoted every bit of my time to this office the past weeks.
I know it's an advantage politically to have more Democrats on the council. Will you be helping any of the I guess beyond the primary, when you're going up against Republicans, do you do anything to help the Democrats in terms of running for office?
I think previously I have gotten involved with some races at different levels, various levels of government before ever coming into government. I never thought I would run for office myself. I liked operating behind the scenes. I enjoyed helping good individuals become elected, and I felt like that's the way that you have good government. Obviously, I'm honored to be here and be in this position. I imagine that I will have my hands completely full as president. Mm-hmm. I know that part of my job as president of the Metro Council is to try to keep this body together and moving forward in a positive direction. I have Democratic and Republican colleagues that represent different areas of the city, and I believe that I have a duty and a job to make sure that all areas of the city are properly represented, and part of that is working with all individuals. So I want to make sure in my capacity as president, I don't do anything that would harm that relationship.
Okay. Well, you're just getting started here in 2016 in your presidency. Mm-hmm. Any issues that come to the top of the list of things you really, really want to push for while you're in this leadership position?
Well, I think right off the bat, forming the new committees and making sure changing the roles in which different legislation we put into. I think it shows that we're wanting to address the housing issues have been a major problem throughout the city. We're wanting to just beautify the area, and I think by working together in the legislative here in the field, we can do that with the mowing, the beautification, dealing with the vacant properties. Crime has also been an issue, mm-hmm. and having chaired public safety several times and had been a former assistant attorney general, I've built some strong ties at each level of government. We're going to continue to work together on that and help combat some of the issues, including the heroin epidemic. And so obviously that's going to be another major focus on us. But a big part is working with the administration on getting a skilled workforce in place. And we talked about the jobs. We all mm-hmm. heard that. Well, that hadn't been left at the campaign table. That's been something that we're wanting to continue to work on. The Kentucky Manufacturing Career Center is underused. It's an underused asset the city has. What we're wanting to do is make sure people who are willing and wanting to work can get a job. And so we get job training. We're connecting a workforce with skilled labor and helping them get those jobs in place. So here in Louisville, I want, if someone wants a job, if they're willing to work, I want to get them to a place where they can work. I want to get them where they have job training, or we connect them with that employers. And our employers are wanting to expand. We have great employers here that are wanting to expand if we can produce a skilled workforce.
Okay.
And so I think that's a great job that we can do as partners with the administration, but as working as elected officials on the Metro Council, all the way from grassroots, we got to get that information out. We have to do a better job of that. And so it's communication. We're going to have to communicate better with each other and with our constituents and build that relationship back with the mayor's office so that working together as one unit for shared goals.
Sure. Well, the mayor, Mayor Fisher and the Metro Council have to get along to get things accomplished, and that's been a contentious relationship at some times in the past. How you and the mayor get along?
Me and the mayor have gotten along just fine. We've butted heads on certain issues. I know you've covered that. But I think that's just part of the process. You won't always agree on everything. Sometimes I have to represent a constituent base, and we may not agree. But mm-hmm. at the end of the day, we come together for our shared goals. I met with the mayor one-on-one yesterday. We had a long conversation and talk about going and getting some of that low-hanging fruit and then working together on the more complicated shared goals. This city is moving in a great direction. I am looking forward to working with the administration, I think that we're going to have a lot of positive things. I mean, we have the groundbreaking of Omni Hotel on Friday. It's going to be, I mean, it's, I'm ecstatic about. And just one thing after another, library. I mean, obviously, we have the Southwest Regional Library, which mm-hmm. has been just a jewel for my area. We're getting another one in Okolona, which will be great for that region, our neighbors there. The West Louisville Food Port is going to be just a great investment for the city. So I think just working together, you get positive things. I mean, I understand the political process. There's a time to set that aside, and you work for mm-hmm. your shared goals. And I think that me and the mayor absolutely have the ability to do that, and I think that there should be no problems.
Okay. Well, I mean, there must be so there's a lot on the plate. There must be a lot you're working on. And just for our listeners who don't know, we've talked mm-hmm. all about you being president, but you're from the South End.
I am.
My part of town. And, you know, I guess there's a lot going on out there, too. Anything, you know, because as president, you got to be president, but you also have to be represent your district.
I do.
And what's going on out there?
Well, it is booming like it's never boomed before. And I think that is another testament to people working together. There's no way I can take credit for all that. That is my colleagues coming together, but working at every level of government, and then also working with the private sector to have reinvestment. We have the Dixie Highway, we call it the Dixie Redo, mm-hmm. redevelopment has come in. We have some $30 million going to be redeveloped in that area. We were successful in the Tiger Grant, which is a federal grant. The congressman helped immensely with that.
So we're all familiar with Dixie uh-huh. Highway and all that. So all this money pouring in, what's that going to do to relieve congestion?
Dixie Highway corridor is the most busy corridor we have in the city. Obviously, it's huge. It is terrible congestion. It is unsafe, and parts of it are unsightly. And so we're wanting to make it safer, better lighting, better movement. We have the busing transit will help increase transportation. And a lot of it is just going to be the curb appeal, the beautification. The developers there that are returning our calls now, they're excited because they're seeing when local government, state government, and federal government are putting their money where their mouth is.
So you see a lot of those empty storefronts. I know there's like a big Kmart out there, and there's a lot of emptiness out there. So you're working to fill that, I guess.
And not just emptiness. There's some of the areas that at other areas of town would not have put up with the way it looked. And so we're wanting to increase that. Obviously, if the land is worth more, if the city has put money and resources into it, it makes sense from a developer standpoint to have return on investment to keep it up. And that's we looked around other areas of the country and how they were able to redo their major corridors. And we hired the same firms they did, for instance, at Lewis and Clark Parkway redid. Mm-hmm. We didn't reinvent the wheel. We want to know what works. We're doing it. And we're hoping 2017 we're able to spend a large amount of this money. We're hoping 2019, 2020 you're going to see a completely redone Dixie Highway corridor, which will help the entire city as that economic
sure.
corridor improves.
Let me ask you one specific question of particular interest to me. I'm sure it's not anything you've studied on or anything, but the legislation on Airbnb, where's that at, and what's the Metro Council's sort of approach to applying regulations there?
Well, the Airbnb, when it first came in, the way it was operating, it would have been illegally operated. And so what we did is we asked that there be a moratorium that set aside and allow a period of time where no one will be penalized for using it. I think it is a great resource for the community. I think for traveling, it's just a new age way of mobility. And we wanted to make sure it's something that's here. So we wanted to make sure that we could provide a way that the people, and it's Airbnb, but any of the providers could provide that resource, but also have a way to protect the integrity of the neighborhoods for the few individuals that would abuse it. So when we put the regulations in place, mostly to say that you are permitted to operate, we wanted to make sure that there were some very minimum restrictions, low cost, but that would also provide a level of protection that a lot of our neighborhoods were very concerned about in the event that all these, that you constantly have this running, you know, throughout the neighborhoods and different people coming and going. Basic safety put in, but mostly just the registration,
well,
so you know who's doing
it. Were there a lot of problems?
Well, obviously this was a new resource. What we did do is we reached out to the other cities like Nashville and Indianapolis, and they talked about what problems they were having, and they talked about how some of them made over restrictions. They had, and so we didn't want to have those same mistakes.
Sure.
So we knew it was coming, and so I think we were very proactive. And what I told my committee members on the Public Safety Committee is let's pass something very least restrictive. It's least restrictive we can. If we have to come back and add something else, we'll do it. But let's start off with minimum restrictions, a pass-through, and I think that we haven't had any problems so far, and I don't see us putting more restrictions in place unless there is a problem.
Okay. Well, you'll pardon me. I characterize that as a solution in search of a problem. But you know, that's part of what you're doing. You're going to get criticized for things. Like, I think, welcome to the office. Didn't you get criticized for your committee appointments
I did.
Today?
I
yeah.
Did. And then the solution in search of a problem, if you remember, though, it was put in. It was not legal to operate as it stood. So we had a problem that was handed to us. And I felt like it wasn't fair to the people who were using this property. We wanted to make a format where that would make it legal and permit it under our codes.
Okay.
And I did get criticized on it, and you expect that. When you have 26 members, you can't make everybody happy. And so I feel like we've done a good job. We've put people in committees where we can move legislation forward, and that would hopefully be able to facilitate our goals and policies this year.
Okay. Well, David, got to wrap it up here. Looking forward to a big year ahead, and anxious to watch how you accommodate all those different voices on the Metro Council.
All right. I look forward to it. Thank you.
Okay, David.
A big thank you to David Yates for squeezing me into his schedule. I actually made him late for a meeting, I think, on Tuesday. He was supposed to be at some sort of council meeting. As president, he gets to go to a lot of meetings. I'll just say that. But I really like David. I hope that he is successful in his year as president of the Metro Council. He hadn't even moved into his office fully yet. They didn't have any of his stuff on the wall or anything. His same office on the first floor there at the Metro Hall, where I interviewed David Tandy not too long ago for the show. And again, it's great to be able to have a good relationship with all these folks in office. In case I ever get in trouble. Right. Well, lots going on in my personal life, I want to tell you. Mainly my ankle surgery is progressing along. Now, it's been over 2 months since I had the surgery, and just today I got the cast off for the first time. I got this sort of air boot now that I got to wear for 3 more weeks, and won't be long. I'll be back on the racquetball court, I promise you. At least the golf course, at least running around. Very much looking forward to that. So, I will be limping a little bit for a little bit longer. Another thing I did this week, I went to the Eye Care Institute, and you're going to be hearing a lot more about the Eye Care Institute. They are coming on the show as a sponsor in just a few short weeks, and I got some great treatment. I got my eyes tested, seeing great, feeling great, all that stuff. It's January is almost over. I'm very excited about getting through that. We got through the snow thing. I will tell you that if you want to hear my opinions on the snow, I was interviewed as a guest on Cindy Tandy's podcast called Louisville Uncovered. covered. I'm not sure exactly what day it's going to be up, but I'll put a link to it on all my social media when it does. And we had a lively discussion in which I gave her my opinion on all the snow and the fear mongering among local media and all that. So speaking of local media, there was a story this week on WDRB I saw about the update on the Mall St. Matthews thing. The crux of the story was, oh gosh, since we instituted all these restrictions on the mall, there have been no incidents out there with young people in gangs gathering up and causing trouble. Well, you know, the newsflash, what the story didn't say was that before the mall instituted all these things, there was a period of years where there were no major incidents at the mall. I continue to maintain, I talked about this with somebody just today, that the whole incident at the mall was a product of panicked police and overblown media. As you probably heard when I talked to Robbie Valentine on this show, you know, the incident was certainly overblown in the police panic. They were backed up by the. It's just a long story, but now they're acting like they did a great thing, and all the whatever problem that wasn't there before is now solved by their new policy out at the mall. So, meanwhile, my son Luke, who's 17, still can't go to the mall at 5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon by himself, and I don't like living in a place like that. That's just not right. All right, so the big news this week, you heard David Yates mention that the Omni Hotel groundbreaking is taking place on Friday. I don't know if you've seen the site, but they flattened it out. It's like ready. It's a flat piece of ground, a full city block. It's ready for building. This is a mammoth project. A lot of people at the GLI meeting last night talked about it. Mayor Fisher mentioned it, and this groundbreaking is going to take place Friday. So another thing that we thought might not ever happen, at least the skeptics did. I was among those who thought we'd never get the bridges. And now the bridges are there, and that's all good, and so we have bridges. The GLI meeting last night was a big pep rally for the city's business community. I attended it. I listened to our governor, Matt Bevin, speak, and you know, I got to admit that after enduring years of that goofy Governor Steve Beshear twang that you're all used to hearing, it just rubbed me the wrong way from the beginning. I got to tell you, Bevin is a smooth talker. He is a good speaker. He had a videotape message at the GLI meeting, and it looked like it was totally impromptu and that he was speaking from his heart and not reading a teleprompter and speaking a... He has no dialect. He has no accent, I guess, like Beshear did. And as much as I disagree with some of his policies, I really like the image that he's projecting. As a no-nonsense, all-business governor, he had his State of the Commonwealth speech this week. And the big news is that he's calling for 9% cuts across the board with state programs, exempting a few very important ones. But he's talking about, you know, some of the things that makes sense to most people, and that is not spending more than you have and being fiscally responsible. So, understandably, Bevin is going to have some challenges getting a lot of things he wants accomplished done. His big issues that sort of I've disagreed with him in the past on charter schools, for example, his positions on social issues, you know, I hope they don't, you know, they don't make it to the floor and to a vote or to a to become law, but a lot of what Bevin's saying makes sense from a fiscally responsible point of view. I'm glad to see it. I'm glad to see that Bevin is a guy who's not afraid to speak his mind and say what he thinks. So he's off to a good start. He's sort of on his honeymoon as a governor. So good for him. All right, so the big news this week, it was the filing deadline in politics for if you want to run for an office, either Metro Council or in the State House, your deadline was Tuesday. And let's just talk about the Metro Council for a minute. I mentioned this briefly with David Yates. The way it works is there's 26 districts, and the even-numbered districts are up for re-election. And a lot of times in these elections, I've been following since about 2000, there are a number of people who run unopposed, and that's the case this time as well. A number of the offices are unopposed, but some of them are really more promised to be more competitive than any I've seen in years. I'll point out four races that I'm really interested in following. In District 2, District 4. District 4 is the district that David Tandy, the former president of the Metro Council, who'd been on the show, decided he wasn't going to run for re-election. And one of the candidates I do know, Barbara Sexton Smith. She's a former Fund for the Arts executive. I got a chance to work with her a few times. She's a bundle of energy. She's a lot of fun. I've seen her speak. I think she would be a great candidate for that. I don't know the other folks. She's got three Democratic opponents there in District 4. So that's going to be an interesting race. The big one, though, is District 8. And you heard last week on the show, Stephen Riley was on the show. And, of course, I think he's very sharp and probably has some great ideas. But he's got a ton of competition. There are seven other competitors, a few that I know a little about. Lenny Myers, a healthcare executive. Tara Long has been endorsed by Tom Owen, the former Metro councilman who's been on this show. Brandon Cohn, who was a assistant to Mayor Fisher and has a lot of knowledge about the district, I'm sure. And, of course, Stephen Riley. That is going to be the district to watch. If you live there, you're going to have a lot of people knocking on your door asking for your vote, it seems like. At least Riley told me he'd be out, and he was going to go try to shake hands with everybody in the district. So we'll see how that happens. And then I want to talk about the District 16 race. I was very happy to see Gil Holland file to run for office. You know, what a high-powered Metro Council this would be if Gil Holland and Stephen Riley both get elected, along with Barbara Sexton Smith and some of the other folks. I think that'll be a really good race. Holland is the only Democrat running in District 16 to replace Kelly Downard, a Republican. As a Republican, has controlled that district, but that partisan politics isn't that big a deal in the Metro Council, although there are certain districts that stay either Democrat or Republican every time. He's running against, in the fall, very likely that Holland will face Scott Reed, a Republican who is a Tea Party guy, and so that'll be something a race to watch. Now, a couple of former Metro councilmen are running for House districts, and believe it or not, that includes good old Dan Johnson in District 21, who has had all sorts of problems. I don't want to insult him anymore. I already have, but Dan Johnson's running against Denny Butler, who is the guy who switched from Democrat to Republican in House District 38. It's in the south end of town. Some of the names you're familiar with, Jerry Miller, who's been on this show, is unopposed in House District 36. I saw him out in J-Town a few weeks ago. And Phil Moffitt, who was just on the show, is also running unopposed. So congratulations to those guys for not drawing an opponent in the race. So that sums up some politics. I'll have some more political guests on, I'm sure, as time goes on between now and the primaries in May. So we'll see how that goes. So before we get to my second guest, the Vava Vixens, I want to talk a little bit. I want to tell you about this one crazy story. As you know, I'm a local Lyft driver. I drive for Lyft and Uber in my spare time and really enjoy it. Meet a lot of people, have a lot of interesting stories to tell, but none like the one that was in the Courier Journal. A local driver, listen to the story. A local Lyft driver named Gilson Daniels had a first. He had a baby born inside his Chevy Tahoe last week. And the story goes on to say that they almost made it to the hospital, but the woman who was giving birth, basically the baby came out right as they pulled up to the emergency door. A heck of an interesting Lyft story, I'm telling you. That is something amazing. Now, I haven't had any stories like that. I don't expect to, but you never know when you go to pick somebody up where you're going or what they're doing. So it's sort of an exciting thing to do. If you have any interest in becoming a driver or just to get some free rides, go to LouisvilleKY.com. There's a couple of ads on there for Uber and Lyft, and you can check those out, and I'd be glad to help you. Okay, so what's next on the Rusty Satellite Show? I love this idea of the Vava Vixen. They're a performance troupe. They do a sort of burlesque play type thing. And Lisa Fry, who contacted me about this, is very excited about their next production called Vava Wonderland. It's a takeoff on Alice in Wonderland. And I was very entertained by the two members of the troupe that came by with Lisa to do the interview. Their names are Leanne Cooper and Deanna Von Calvert, and they were a lot of fun. I got them to do some accents, do their whole thing at the we met at the Art Sanctuary. But the show is going to be at Headliners the first three weekends in February. It'd be a great Valentine's Day thing for your adult friends. This is not a kiddie show, I will say, as you'll hear when you hear the interview. So anyway, it's all very entertaining, so I urge you to stay tuned for this one. This is my interview with the Vava Vixens, Lisa Fry, Deanna Von Calvert, and Leanne Cooper.
No matter how young and healthy you are, life can be full of unpleasant surprises. And without health insurance, even a short hospital stay could set you back thousands of dollars. If you qualify for expanded Medicaid, you can get coverage through Passport Health Plan. Find out if you qualify. Call 855-459-6328 or go online at kynect.ky.gov. Choose Passport, the plan that takes the time to care.
All right, today I'm at the Art Sanctuary. I've been here before with Lisa Fry, and I'm back again for a cool reason. Lisa, tell me about the Va-Va Vixens.
Howdy. We have been around for, this is our seventh year that we're going on. This will be our seventh Valentine's show. It's Va-Va Wonderland this time. We've got a new name instead of just Va-Va Valentine, which it has been in the past. We're at Headliners doing this show. It'll be the first three weekends in February.
Okay, so I should bring my sweetheart to this
Absolutely.
Show as a Valentine's date.
Absolutely. You can do that, or you can come with a group of friends. The more the merrier. They usually okay. sell out, so get there early.
Yeah. Now I hear this is not your your run of the mill. It's not a play. It's not a it's not a concert. It's some sort of thing, right?
We've become more theatrical over the years. It is kind of like a play we've written. It's everything's local, so we've written the story ourselves. We choreograph all the dances and all the numbers, which that's anything but with. Choreographed dance numbers with up to 25 people in the number to solo numbers to aerials, acrobats, when they do the twisty turny flippy things.
Wow.
and we do striptease
that's
because
a technical
it is
term, right?
technically burlesque, but okay. we do a variety show. It's vaudevillian type stuff.
So that means that it's not necessarily G rated.
No, it isn't.
Well, that's curious. You've got some people with you here. Why don't you introduce
yes,
some
this
of
is
these
Leanne
Vixens.
Cooper. She's been with us for almost since the beginning. She does a lot of hosting. She also is a great dancer. She does a ton of the costuming, which is that's become a work of art on its own with this sculptural elements that we've now put into the costumes. So costumes are pretty intense.
Okay.
She does a lot of that almost by herself, so that's huge. We also have Deb Foster that helps out with costumes and several other people, but she's one of the main people that do that, too. So her stage name is Dita DeVille. Say hi.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
How you doing today?
Great. And we have Dina over here who
is Deanna Calvert, and her stage name is Fifi LaFemme.
Fifi LaFemme.
Pleasure okay. to meet
you. Nice to be here. I tell you, this is fun. And now I understand on the stage, you have like 30 people that are mm-hmm. involved in this thing, right?
Yes. You men and women?
Mm-hmm. My husband actually performs with us. He's one of the many men in our troupe. We have a male gymnast. We have a male acro yoga artist, I guess. They do a lot of hand balancing and flips. Amazing dancers.
Wow.
We have a lot of people that do a lot of things.
Okay.
And they're
okay.
all pretty neat, actually.
Very.
I guess. And, Deanna, what, do you have, like, a special talent that you do? Or what's your role?
I could do voices. I am happy to do whatever they need me to do. And I absolutely love it. So, right now, I'm the White Queen. And they teach me a few dance moves that I try to work my best through. And I love speaking to people and working on scripts. It's a good passion,
okay.
and they're so intricate and fun.
This one is super intricate. It took us a long time to write this one.
It really did. This one was hard because the Alice in Wonderland story is so near and dear to so many people.
Uh-huh.
And we wanted to embrace that, but we also didn't want to completely rip it off. So
that's really hard to do.
Yes, and we've created our own story. We do have the same characters, but we also have an Alice character and a Malice character. So it's kind of mixing things up, and we go off in all kinds of ridiculous. It's very funny. All of our stories are super hilarious. So, and a lot of tongue-in-cheek kind of innuendos and things like that. So,
okay.
it's a good time for sure.
And so, you say the costumes. You say you do a lot with the costumes.
I do a lot with costumes. I do a lot of Wonderflex, which is like a sculpting plastic that you
mm-hmm.
can pretty much make anything you want out of it.
Okay.
For this show, we've made a Jabberwocky. I've got a White Rose like gladiator costume over there. It's pretty awesome. I burnt my thumbprints off a few times working with it because you use a heat gun and so it gets really hot.
Really cool, but it's dangerous.
Wow. So I'm risking my life for my art. My thumbprints, anyway.
But all of the, I guess, people that play there, I don't know, is there nudity? Is there anything like that?
It's semi-nudity. We look naked, but it's really just flesh-colored fabric.
Okay.
We do a lot of that, like strategically play sequins so that, you know, we don't have any nip slips because we get fined for those, and it's not yeah. fun.
Ah, no one wants people to, who watch
that.
The
blue laws that are in Kentucky are pretty hardcore, so yeah. we can't. And we're not really trying to be strippers anyway. So
no.
kinda, yeah. It's burlesque. It's an art form. So
it's a lot of illusion.
Naked in
fabric.
Windows.
Right.
Yes.
Well, I guess blue laws, I didn't think would come into play here, but I guess they do.
Mm-hmm.
What's against the law?
It's a pretty tricky, it's very difficult to find the exact things that are against the law.
Yes.
So we always err on the side of caution.
Okay.
So,
yes.
The more
you don't seem cautious.
Well, like the pasty law says that you have to have your entire areola covered and a substantial part of the breast. Okay, well, if you have 8-cup boobies, a substantial part of the breast is your whole boob. So
yeah.
If you have like double D-cup boobies, that's negotiable. Like, what is a substantial portion? So
it's worded really strange.
It is worded really strange. So we do a lot of almost like a nude bra with pasties attached to it, so that from far away you can't see it, you just see the pasty. But if you get up close, like say they were trying to find us for something, we could be like, oh, we are all within the law, so everything is covered.
This is
the majority. This is the substantial section.
Let's get out
stick,
right?
You can't have any anal cleft, which I always thought was really funny. So the top of your butt crack cannot hang out of your pants.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Plumbers around the world are in trouble.
They are breaking the law. Half the people in the audience are breaking the law, but we cannot.
Yeah.
So, and like the G-string laws, like the strap of your G-string has to be at least an inch wide. We don't do those anyway, but
okay.
It's just they're really weird laws.
Yeah, really, really strange. I guess, people come out to make sure that the law enforcement people come out and make sure that you're following the laws, I guess. But anyway, enough of that. Let's talk about what is the story if it's a takeoff on Alice in Wonderland? What can you tell me without giving it away?
But the relationship between the queen, well, they're sisters in the book too, so they are sisters, but they have kind of a really ridiculous relationship. Leanne talks in between Bill Cosby and Julia Child. Is her accent? Let's get a little regular.
Yeah, let's
sister. Why would you have this bumbling idiot do our speech? That kind of thing. And then we have the White Queen, who is very proper.
Very proper. I'm like, oh, sister, why do you have to be this way? You're so mean all the time.
And just as far as the costuming and everything, they are total opposites. The Red Queen court is all very BDSM bondage inspired, lots of leather and spikes and chains.
Mm-hmm.
They're ridiculous. And then the White Queen's court is all very Victorian,
fluffy,
lots of lace
white,
and bustles,
pure
white sequins and pearls, and just complete opposites. We look totally different.
Alice kind of looks more like her,
mm-hmm.
and Malice looks more like her.
Right.
So
okay.
You can see where they sort of...
They're kind of like pawns for us in a way.
It's kind of a magical thing that happens. The Hatter gives these dolls to the queens, and they become alive, and they become Alice and Malice. And then he uses them to pit against each other because he's trying to get the kingdom from them. So it's a different story, but...
Same characters. There's still a courtroom.
He's kind of a trash-talking Scottish dude.
Well, I'm sorry he's not here to give us that
yeah.
that accent. You know, it's
he's got a really big potty mouth, and she has to correct him all the time. And
I translate.
Oh, okay.
Right.
It's funny. It's definitely...
Yeah, we had a really good time writing this one.
Yes.
So.
Okay.
Like, if you're expecting a regular rendition of Alice in Wonderland, you will probably be disappointed because that is not what this is.
I can't imagine
it's
watching
this
show
different.
And being disappointed in
no.
anything. But
no.
If you're a purist, then...
If you're a purist, it may not be your cup of tea, but I think you will appreciate the take on it.
It's funny.
It's definitely different.
Okay,
yeah,
well,
in the best kind of way.
Well, that's it sounds really exciting. Now, Lisa, this you were saying this is y'all been doing this a while now, mm-hmm. right? And you've had different venues in the past because I don't think I remember it being at Headliners.
Right. We started off doing it at the Point way back when in Butchertown, and then we moved to Headliners, and then occasionally we've done some shows at Art Sanctuary where mm-hmm. we are now in the smaller room, and then this past October we did one in the bigger room. So
okay.
we'll bounce around some just to kind of keep it fresh and
all right.
some different things.
So what was the attraction to going to Headliners this time?
We love it over there. They take care of us. They're great people. Mm-hmm. They are really supportive of what we're doing, and they've just okay. been great the whole time. Like I don't know if we could have done it without them, really.
The bouncers take care of us when people get out of hand, which is really nice. Because when you're walking around in lingerie, people feel like they can just
reach out and touch you
if they want to.
Yeah, that's
and they don't really they don't let that happen. Which is nice. Yeah. They keep an eye on us.
Well, good. Well, I'm
they look out like big brothers.
Yeah.
It's like we have 15 gigantic big brothers.
Yes.
Well, okay. Well, let's give the audience some details about what tickets cost, where you get them, all that stuff.
Okay. VIP is actually already sold out, so that's out. But those are $35, and that normally they're the first ones to sell out, but they're a table up front, and you have a reserved seat. The next level is reserve seating, which is all the floor seats. Those are $25. And then general admission is upstairs in the balcony and standing, which is $20. So
okay. All right, great. And go to Headliners to get tickets? Or
mm-hmm. You can go to headlinerslouisville.com.
Okay. Okay. And Baba Vixens is, I mean, what you got on the plate next? I mean, you got to get through this one.
We do three big shows a year.
Yes.
So it'll be June and then October. We haven't decided what the next one's going to be.
No.
We have a lot of different ideas.
I can
we
still
have
make
a ton
suggestions.
Of ideas.
Yeah,
okay.
We have ideas lists as long as our arms about all of the Vava possibilities. So.
And they all start with a V. You know how hard that is to do after 22 shows? Finding things that still sound good with a V.
Yeah, well, you only got one letter of the alphabet to work with, but anyway, it's Vava Wonderland.
Yes.
And it's three weekends in February.
Mm-hmm. 5th, 6th, 12th, 13th, 19th, 20th.
All right. So you get tickets to one of those performances. And maybe we can close with, can you guys do your accents again and some way to entice people to come?
Please be sure to check out Vava Wonderland. You can get your tickets at headlinerslouisville.com. Sister, can you please give them the dates?
Oh, the dates? Oh, darling, why do you have to do this to me? We've got February the 5th, the 6th, the
12th!
The 12th!
And 13th, you dimwit!
Well, you know I knew the 19th and the 20th, but I didn't know the one in the middle.
You're terrible at math.
The 12th, the 13th,
this is why Daddy would have never left you the kingdom.
Well, why do you always do this? You ask me these questions.
It's the 5th, the 6th, the 12th, the 13th, the 19th, and the 20th.
You know, I just want them to know that they will be fascinated by this.
Always right. trying to make everyone happy.
I don't think I'm going to be able to get those accents out of my mind. You had to see it to believe it. Check out the pictures by Bill Reimer of the Vava Vixen Troupe on the RustySatelliteShow.com website. And go over to LouisvilleKY.com. You'll see a lot of stuff I'm doing. I'm going to the theater this week. I'm going to see Peter and the Starcatcher on Thursday night, if you're hearing this tonight on Thursday. And also, I urge you to come out and join me. If you're listening to this today, come on out and join me at Meta Bar in downtown Louisville on Chestnut Street for a very special promotion with the Blues and Ballantyne Whiskey. My good friend Paul Toole is going to be there and serving up some Ballantyne. So if you heard last week, Jeremy Johnson, the bartender there and the owner of the bar, told me about some of the drinks that they're going to be serving, and it sounds like they're going to be really good. So big night on Thursday night here in town, and I'm sure there's a lot of things going on this weekend. I hope you get out and enjoy them in our hometown of Louisville, Kentucky. One last thing I want to remind you about. There is a very important bill in the Senate right now that I've written about for Insider Louisville, and it would make sure that your children that are in public school, grades 7 through 12, sometime in their career as students would get CPR training in school. And if you can imagine the benefit of having all these people, you know, thousands and thousands of young people who know CPR training, it's a very important issue. I urge you to read about it on the Insider Louisville site under Health Reports and get in touch with your congressman. You know, this is a nonpartisan bill. You know, it would be very hard to make an argument against this, but we'll see. There's no cost. There's all kinds of stuff associated with that. You can read about it there on Insider Louisville. So that's it for this week's show. Thanks to David Yates and to the Va-Va Vixen Troops. You can go see them in February on the weekends. At Headliners. That's going to be a great show. Very entertaining. There's a lot of energy in the room when those ladies are around. Urge you to go see that. So I will be back next week with another Rusty Satellite show. It is a blast doing this program for you. I'm talking about a number of great new podcast projects with some other folks, and very much looking forward to helping you with your get into the podcast habit. Big thank you to my sponsor, Passport Health Plan, for helping me put the show together, and to Dan Vonderheide, my producer, Jackie Bentley, for posting things on LouisvilleKY.com. Bill Breimer, our photographer. You can see all his work at RustySatelliteShow.com, as well as a thank you also to Jason Smith for doing a lot of my web work and the social media. This is Rick Redding signing off for the Rusty Satellite Show, home of the most interesting people in the Ville.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city.
Time I